Thank you for the time to gather together again around your word. We ask that you please feed us with your word tonight. We can't live except by your word. So feed us with your word. Bring the truth to the open in our lives. Show us how to live well, how to live wisely as we discuss tonight. And at the end of it all, let all the glory be yours and the blessing be ours in Jesus' name. We pray for our city, our state, our nation. Thank you for giving us peace so that we can live a godly life, quiet and peaceable in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sit down. You can have your seat. We're dealing with what I call A to Z on practical living. Remember? Okay, so we just do that. We've gone through letter A, okay, assume ability. Letter B, blessing. Letter C, creativity. Letter D, discernment and handling disquietedness. Letter E, emotional agility. Then fasting, and goal setting and goal reaching. And then hope. We said last week that God said, I'll give you a future and a hope. When you have a future without hope, it becomes a boring life. You have time in your hand, but you don't have any hope. What to do with it? So you call, that's why you're bored. And when you have hope and you don't have a future, you call it frustration. You know, you have a lot of stuff you want to do. There's no time to do it. So you are frustrated. All right, are we ready? Letter what today? After letter H, letter I. Okay, let's do. Now, when you have hope, what should be the next thing? I want to give you something. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. Baladi, I think we are doing well. People think this is kind of a drug. It's just water. Looks so small, but fitting for me. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me ask your neighbor, how many planets are? There are how many planets? Let me ask your neighbor. How many planets do we have? Let me ask your neighbor. You must say, what is a planet? And it's how many plants? Planets are our size of earth structure. We have so many of that. We have so many planets. Then the planets also gather together. We have them called galaxies. And there are billions of galaxies. So let me ask your neighbor, why did God make all that? Let me ask anybody, why did God make all that? Billions, galaxies, and everywhere. Huh? Somebody say something? As if I heard the voice. Okay, they are discussing among themselves. Write it down. Investment. Investment. Letter I stand for what? Investment. Investment. So God made all this heaven and earth. Give us verse 1 again. It's in just investment. You see, when you have hope, hope will give you something preferable in the future. So what you do in the present is to invest in that hope. If that hope is credible. Are we here? What is investment? I know we are thinking cryptocurrency. What else? Gold. Precious metals, shares. I'm talking about. I want to give you some of the called basics of investment. What is investment? Investment is, first of all, you have a future, you have a hope, and what you can do in the present to get to that future is investment. I see all these boys that want to invest in cryptocurrency, and they don't seem to know what the future is all about. They don't have any particular hope. You just want to have money. Are you listening? So, we are going to see today what is investment. After you have hope, you see, letter G said goal setting. When you set goals, you have hope. And when you have hope, like now, I want to eat next week. So I have a hope that I'll eat next week. So what do I do today? I'll go and buy food stuff, right? I invest in food stuff now. So that when that future comes, with my hope, I will have food to eat. If I don't invest in the food now, and I just play around, by next week, I likely go hungry. So investment is what you do in the present to realize your hope of the future. Say one more time. Investing or investment is what you do in the present so that you can realize the hope you have in your future. If you don't invest, it simply means that you don't have a future. You are looking forward to experience certain hope. If I don't buy food stuff for next week, how many of you have been there before? You forgot to buy some food stuff before weekend or Sunday. And then you wake up in the morning, you start scrambling, and it's not available. Particularly for bachelors and spinsters. Particularly for bachelors. Because girls usually make investment. Boys don't remember. They are watching football, so they won't buy the pepper that will be sold on Sunday. Not on Sunday, so they have problems. So that's what we call investment. Very simple question. Very simple way to answer, to explain investment. It's not just buying cryptocurrency or buying shares. Investment is what can you do in the present so that you realize the hope you have in your future. If you don't do anything in the present, your hope will not come to pass. So, write this one down. Faith is an investment. Faith is an investment. We're going to see that in minutes. Faith, that woman said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. See, you have a picture of wholeness, am I right? And then she began to do something, investing in getting to reach the garment of Jesus now. And she started doing that. And when she reached it, her investment came with a very good return, which is what? Healing and wholeness for her. Do you get that simple picture of investment? Government used to do it for us those days when we were working as federal government, state government, local government. They said they'll give you gratuity and pension. That means that you work, they help you put the money aside, so when you get old, you have the money as your. But now government said, we are not doing that anymore. You put your money with the PENCOM and invest it there. What you do with it, you call it, collect it later. Right? Are we here? Okay, so clearly, letter H stands for hope, but letter I stands for investment. What's investment? One more time. What we do in the present to realize hope that we have for the future. I plan to go to school 2 years' time, so I began to work to put money aside for that. Now, somebody who is a fool, let's not define the word fool and wise. A fool is somebody who has future and hope and doesn't make any investment for it now. That's who a fool is. A wise person is somebody who looks at that future and see that kind of hope he wants. So what does he do? He puts certain investment for the present. Pastor, how come? Remember the 10 virgins? Remember the 10 virgins? The 10 virgins had hope to attend a wedding and have light with the wedding. So they travel for the wedding. The ones, 5 of them, that thought about the hope that is coming will require certain things to be had now, extra oil. So they went about and bought extra oil. So there is a price to pay for investment. So the 5 of them bought extra oil. And they took the oil, went for the ceremony, and it was not needed until there was a delay. And when there was a delay, they all slept off. And when they woke up, the bridegroom is here, and their lamp is already going out. Those who had extra oil invested in the past for this present situation, pulled out their oil, started pouring. Those ones who didn't, who are fools now. So a fool is someone who does not make investment for his hope, for the future. A wise person is the one who says, oh, that future is coming. Let me sacrifice now. You see, investment is just more than buying shares and cryptocurrency. I'm in school. I know that I need to come out of school with 2-1 or 2-2 to get a good job. Third class, they will not take me in. So what do I do? I'm making an investment right now in reading hard, studying hard, so that I will have enough wherewithal to write in the exam all. Now, when I play around and mess up my life and I don't face my books, then that time will come, I will not get the desired results and I become one of these area boys on the street. So, usually a lot of things that happen to us is out of our investment. Hello. So, in life, investment is the critical issue if you are going to live out your future. What you have right now, it's not just it. When somebody enters perpetual frustration in the future, if you look closely, they've not made investment in the past. They've not paid the due of the past. See, when they got to that scrambling level, the five that were foolish said, please give us some of your oil. They said, no, it can't be enough for both of us because it's investment. It can't be enough for both of us. Some things you can share, some things you can't share. Hello? I can't share in the exam hall. It's called cheating. So, and when you don't share, when you don't have for the future, you can't, they say, please go and buy. You have to say, go and buy. But it's too late. Time is against you. That opportunity is gone. So you go to go and buy, and they came back and said, master, open the door for us. You missed that opportunity. That car was supposed to be 5 million. They said, come and pick it for 1.5 million. You didn't have the money. Somebody had the money, picked up the car. The car is gone. I give an example sometimes ago, years ago. I missed it. I was going to my house. There was a mechanics village around my house. And I saw this beautiful generator there. Nice generator that you have just been offered for very cheap money. And I looked at it and said, I don't want to buy. And actually, I bought it for that yellow one that is there now. And I just, what? I just bought it. But I went by. And it passed by. And I went back to go and look for it. It's gone. Do you hear me? So, anybody that wants to have something for the future must make what? Investment for it. The only reason I'm convinced that you are looking for a future hope is what you are doing today. A farmer who is expecting to have a good bumper harvest and is on his bed during the planting season, that's a foolish farmer. A farmer who is working frantically, putting things together, and putting farm and doing all that, and getting the right yield, going to Fadama or Ogadep to buy things and put that together, that's a farmer who is making investment for the future. Everything, marriage, everything, career, everything depends on the law of investment. What you invest in the future. So, when you talk about investment, it's basically the law of sowing and reaping. You want to have something in the future, it's bound to be a harvest. And you sow for it right now. If you don't sow for it right now, you will not have it. Whatever a man sows, that will also reap. Next verse. If a man who sow to his flesh, the flesh in that verse simply means disorder, chaos, riotous living. There's no control. There's nothing to hold him back from doing whatever he feels like doing. Like a farmer who gets up in the morning to go to the farm to cultivate the ground. It's easier to lie on the bed and be sleeping. That's the flesh. In fact, you can do something. That word flesh starts with the same word with failure. FF. The word spirit starts with the same word with success. So you can just replace it with this. He that whoso to his failure will of the failure reap corruption. But he who sows to the spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life. So there's life available when we sow to the spirit, which is involved love, joy, peace, self-control, and do something with your life, then you will not find yourself really left up. As I grow older, I'm coming to see what you put in the past that you will enjoy in the present. And what you put in the present, you will enjoy in the future. There's no need to be scared of time. Pregnate the time, and time will yield for you. Pregnate yesterday, today will give birth to the children. Pregnate today, will give birth tomorrow for you. And we call it investment. Investment. Are we here? Now, let's now look at what kind of investment you do. I want to show you some investment in the Bible. Ready? Not cryptocurrency. See, everybody just, that's why Nigerians are deceived more than anybody else. Nigerians are always, somebody saying, because they are too focused on money. They are not focused on investment. Oh, from 5,000, from 50,000. That 50,000, what are you going to do with it? What's your plan for it? You don't have any plan. You don't have any future hope, expectation. So you just like a farmer going to the farm, any seed will do. If you're not careful, they give you cocoa that won't show up until 5 years' time. But anybody who's planting cocoa knows that, oh, it's cocoa now. Pastor, I want to marry a man. I just carry me to Hawaii. I just buy me a car. What's the investment you are going to make for that to happen? Carry me, go now. Okay, let's look at some investment in the Bible. What's the investment? So we're going to start describing them by their words. First, number one, in Genesis chapter 1, God made investment on this planet. Think about it. Look at this planet. It's a serious investment. It's been yielding for us all these years. Have you noticed that? The ground is still yielding. The water, the sea, the air. When last did we export oxygen from planet Mars? Think about that. So the investment of God on this planet, when he made this planet, when he finished it on the sixth day, is so good that the sun never says, I'm going on recess for servicing. Let's clap our hands for our Jehovah God. God is the best investor. He made investment. Of course, it's investment in the human beings' field. Are you hearing me? But he never gave up on us. He made another investment he gave by sending his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't God so good? So, this planet is an investment of God. Look at the ground. Look at the grass. Look at the green. Look at everything around you. They keep multiplying. They keep going. God is not always there saying, I pray that rain season will come. I pray that dry season will not fail. No, it's just put in order and just working itself out. Just working itself out. Put processes there, systems. That's investment. God made, one of the greatest investments that God ever made was to put what I call seed planting harvest. You see, whatever he wants to, that he will also reap. God put this system to be running so that it can keep on growing and growing and growing. Look at Matthew, Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Let's look at it quickly. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, investment. And what happened? He should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He doesn't know how. See, as long as you are putting the investment there, the ground will take the seed and start working on it, right? Right? Oh, no. No. Yeah, yeah. And then the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the end. After that, the full grain. You know what I learned in my life? I should not rush for anything. If I want something, listen, look up here. If I want something here, I must not just get there and start scrambling. I should back off, and 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 back off to a credible place that give me the normal pace that as I do that, it gets over here. If I want to have money coming regularly, I can't just stay over there and say, money come regularly, money must come regularly. Every time money will not come regularly in your life. But back off, back off, back off, back off, back off to a place where you can start a regular processing of bringing money in. Huh? Now, when something is scarce, it's time to make investment on it. You know what I just said? Huh? Naira is abundant, dollar is scarce. So what do we do with dollar? One of the things that is beautiful about investment is that investment helps you to turn something that is about to finish into a continuous supply. Did you hear that? What did I say? For instance, you have a kitchen, you have a store, your food is almost finished. So you don't buy food itself. You can buy food stuff. And then you bring the food stuff home and start taking the food stuff. You start taking the stuff of food. And then as soon as it's about to finish again, what do you do? You look around, you go to the market. 70,000, 75, 800, 8,000, 80,000. Rice. Ah, what do you want you? To bara o ni jeun. Making some sense? Okay, so you can see my future. I'm not working for them. Praise God. So let's look at the first thing you do. What's the first kind of investment? Genesis 4, verse 1. Let's go. Genesis 4, verse 1. Not Genesis 2. Genesis 4, verse 1. 4, verse 1. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother, Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. What was the greatest investment on this planet? Children. Human beings. Look at verse 1 again. We're looking at the investment. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I've acquired a man from the Lord. So, you see, all this population thing, all these people, the greatest thing any human being can bring forth is another human being. You can bring up billions of dollars, but it can never equal to one person. I hope you are listening to what you're hearing what I'm saying this evening. You see, even when you're sitting down here in somebody's investment, your mama and your dad giving back to you. Elon Musk was born by somebody. And that vast money, somebody is working with it. Or some people. Tesla doesn't run by machine, runs by human beings. So human beings are the greatest investment on this planet. In fact, if you go to the Western world, their priority is not machinery, their priority is on people and training people and developing human beings. That's why they call it developed nation. Not developed cars. Are you hearing me? Not developed house, developed nation. What do you call us? Developing nation or underdeveloped. So it's the kind of people. Pastor, is there any difference between development and growth? I learned this years ago from one MBA book. I said, what's the difference between growth and development? He said, what do you call acquitting in English? Acquitting. Dump ground. Dump ground grows, it doesn't develop. Did you hear what I just said? What is it? Dump ground. It grows in sizes, but doesn't develop. You just throw things there, and it goes up, and some of them can form a village. Have you seen that in Lagos on the way to Etrikeja? You just see like this. It was almost a whole village area. But does it develop? It doesn't develop. What's development? That means increase in creativity and complication. For instance, now, my brain is more developed than my finger. My finger is a piece of mass of flesh. But my brain neuron, that that thing that look like ogi. Not strong as my finger. It's highly developed. Am I right? So when you are developed, God wants you to develop. That's why children grow. Among all creatures on the planet, only human beings have long development. Chickens, they are up. Horse, give them a few days, they start walking. Am I right? Elephant, few weeks, you start tumbling up. Monkeys, in droves. Rabbits, fish, scattered. But human beings are vulnerable. They are useless for the first 15 to 20 years. Becoming even 35 years now. Because you can't be released now until you have masters. Are you hearing me? Before it was BSc. You think you are king on the mountain. BSc is the Barogudu. Are you hearing me? So to develop a human being takes a lot. That's the first investment. So Adam and Eve put their effort to raise children. That's why Africans are becoming the hope of the world today. That's why we are going abroad. That's why we're having jackpot syndrome. Jackpot syndrome is not anything bad. It's because the Western world, they developed, but they don't have children again to develop. And they told us to stop having children, but we refused to hear them. When I was in school, those days in the 80s, population control, they can food for all, year 2000 AD. So they said we should not have children. They didn't have children, and today, I read about a couple of weeks ago that, just about, was it 2 years ago now, that the last person in secondary school in Japan was celebrated, and they had to put down the whole building of secondary school in Japan. Japan never give anybody citizenship. They can only give you a visa. So nobody can become in Japan without being born. And they were not born anybody. In fact, I watched South Korea when a man, an elderly man, was so angry, his daughter came home. He said, he doesn't have to have children. He came with a dog. And the old man said, dog to my house for your child. But that's what they have now. But we Africans, praise the Lord. The next doctor, the next engineer, the next computer guy will come from there. Hallelujah. So the first investment, I know it's difficult, I know it's hard, is to have people, human beings. Universities, in the Allah saw me, Abeko, beautiful, praise God. If you see any great man that's doing well, some people are there to make that happen in his life. Okay? Jesus himself chose 12 men beginning his life. So let's put that one down. Next one to do. What's the next investment? Let's keep on. Then the boy came, and this. Okay. Now, can you look at next one? Now, this boy Cain sent his brother Abel, and now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, according to the Bible, the next investment of a person is the work of his hand, is his career. Your career is your safeguard to the future. Not money. That's what some of these boys today, they're so stupid. They're only looking for money. They never have anything tangible, anything that they do as plumbing skill. Like happened to me this morning. I saw a pipe leaking. I just entered. I just said, cool. And water was everywhere. No money can change that. I had to call Ahmed. And Ahmed was trained by his father. I knew the father before Ahmed was born. So I got changed. Oh, the original plumber. That's a skill. Praise God. So Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Every one of us, our parents did it for us, must do it for that. Every one of us must see that after we are born as a human being, the next investment is our skill, is our career. Okay, you want to get visa, but they won't give you visa if you don't have skill that are required there. If you don't have skill that are required there, and you go through the technical channel, and you get down there, you're going to work in the farm. Or you're going to work in the factory. Are you hearing me? That's all about where to debate. I just heard today or yesterday that from now on, UK said, if you are now into health services, you can't bring your dependent anymore. Before, they allow you to come in. They're very smart. These guys are very smart. They're not like us. I've been looking at something on the 25th. You just look at Otikun skills, health skills. Otikun there. They can't tell you confirm. To buy a auto sell confirm. I look again. I don't worry. I don't bother. Praise the Lord. For instance, when you come with your children, they are not afraid at all. They are not having children.
When it comes to your children, that those children are no longer yours. But I just said, huh? You'll be amazed if you send your children, Akintola, Klerukuleba, Uluwadi, Klerukuleba, Fasola. When the boy gets to America, say, I'm an American. You would never say, I'm a Nigerian. I'm an American. You know, in your house, say, Urukwe, Fatokini. Go to school, Fatoki. That's all I say. You know, because other boys, Britain, and he's going to say, Fatoki, Fatoki. Or Fat, oh. Thank you. And your children, when they come to your village, by transfer them, and then they come over and see this place, say, Mom, Dad, let's go back to America. One boy, his father, you know, was having a problem with him. So he brought him to Nigeria, come and stay to go to school. Guy, off offense, passport, sakwada. So they know that your children, they are no longer yours. There's nothing wrong with that, because your daddy, is he with you now? You know, the first thing that we you know, my father has a village. They no longer hold me. They can hold me. With Dapa from Dapa Krume. you don't get me back there, man. I can go visit and they collect money for me for Baptist Church in my village. No problem. But I ain't going to stay there. Praise God. Are we here? Making some sense? So our career, number one, we as human, we are this investment. Every child you send to school, every child you train something, it's an investment. So all you women that are feeling as if you are wasting your time, you are not putting your life into your career, you're actually multiplying your career through your children. Can you clap for all the mothers in the house? Praise God. Hallelujah. So now, that Abel was a keeper, Cain was a tiller of the ground. They started developing some skill, which is investment. Now, the trouble is that sometimes we develop career or skills that are not useful at that time. So we're called unemployed. I hope you're getting what I'm saying now. But doesn't mean it's not a skill. If I know how to sell computers very well, when we find ourselves drowning in water, that skill is not useful. Of selling computers. What is useful is what? What will sell? It's a swimming skill. Am I making myself? So you have to sometimes, that's why you see all this movement of Jakba, because you will go to where your skills are more appreciated than where you are. And where you can be flourishing and to do better with it. Am I making some sense? So skill, number one, we, human, is the first investment. Second is what? Our career. So Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Write this one down. Your career is the passport to your future. Your career is the passport to your future. Whatever you are doing as career, whatever you are following through. There are three major careers on this planet, but I know some of you won't believe it. Three major careers on this planet. Farming, teaching, and health issue. It's like the three major careers. Farming, Pastor Famike. Second, teaching, training, next generation. And third is the healthcare. Other ones will follow. But these are the three primary things that will work across the border anywhere. Of course, depending on the qualifications. But that's what it is. Even in medicine, somebody has to train us. Somebody has to educate us. So teachers are always relevant and they live longer. You hear me? So, Pastor David, it's not bad after all to be a teacher. I'm teaching too. Praise God. Jesus was a teacher. Hallelujah. Okay, beautiful. So, that's the career thing. Let's look at the next investment. How quickly our time is running. Next investment. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Let's keep reading. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Next verse. But did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Please, everybody look up here. It's important. Who taught them to do this? It's as if after the fall of Adam and his wife, They began to seek connection with God. Yes, they developed career and co, but they began to seek connection with God, and they came by reason of learning just firstly out of God's plan, just firstly in disobedience. So they were still close to the Garden of Eden. They were still close to the mind of God. And they came to see that sacrifice is the greatest investment you can make with your life. As far as God is concerned, if you are going to make a connect with God, their parents taught them that you must sacrifice to God. Not just because God likes to eat yam and eat rice and eat chicken. No, God is asking you to sacrifice so you can make a connect between you and him. So that he will have a right of way into your life. Without sacrifice, God is not in line with us. Without giving something up that is precious to us, God's not in line. So you can see, look at verse 4 again. You see, Abel also brought, what's the first one? Okay, let's go back to verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. Take a look at that. You see, they lost the garden, right? God sent them out of the garden. So there was no way back to God. So, but their parents told them, the way back to God is sacrifice. The way back to hold God to your life. Now, we cannot have God anymore in the garden of Eden like we used to have. But now, you can have God personally and privately by sacrifice. So, the greatest spiritual investment you can ever make is sacrifice. Career, children is investment. You know, career is investment. But your own personally, taken from your life to God. He said, it brought to the Lord. Next verse, investment. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected. Please look at this word. I want to help you over here. These people talked about this verse. They never got the meaning. You see, it didn't say God liked the offering. It didn't say, no. He said, God respected the man and his offering. That means God gave him due regard in his presence. So if you never come with sacrifice, you have no regard before God. I'm not asking for an offering. Just relax. This guy is going to talk to convince us to bring money. No. So, see, the Lord respected, but even the offering, he said, Abel brought the firstborn and of their fat, and the Lord respected, the Lord gave, can you give us Amplified Bible for this verse? Maybe it's possible, if you can see it. Maybe we see it better. Okay. But Abel brought an offering of the finest firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. And the Lord had respect, regard for Abel and for his offering. I've noticed it's fat. What is fat in the body? It's a store. Am I right? What is a fat? It's a store. Am I right? That when things go awry and you don't have carbohydrates, fat will be broken down to give you that survivor to go on. So we don't take the fat for ourselves. We take the fat to the Lord. We are taking our store to the Lord. Say, Lord, you, my future is in your hand. That was one of the toughest things for me to do as a person. But finally, I learned it. How it's working like that now for me. It took a while before I started working like that. I'm no longer throwing things away. I'm making investments with God. So he said, and the Lord had respect, regard for Abel and for his offering. God respect, give him regard. Give us Message Bible for that verse. Our time is running. Okay, what did he say? Okay, God liked Abel. So God can like somebody. And he liked him because the firstborn and choice cut of meat, these are physical things. But this man took the sacrifice of the best and said, God, he doesn't eat animals, but he took that animal and burned it before God. But Cain brought whatever. And God, look at your friend. Oh, you're welcome. But I don't have respect for you. Next verse. But Cain and his offering didn't get his approval. Cain lost his temper. This is the beginning of anger. I went into a sulk. The beginning of envy. So what I'm saying today is that there is a way of also bringing investment of your life to God. When you begin to do things for God, when you begin to sacrifice for God, you're not doing something in vain. And he returns on his investment. Praise God, somebody. Let's look at one. Chapter 19, Proverbs, verse 17. 19, verse 17. We will see that. I just wish I can go more to that. But I have time. See if I can do that or before we close. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And he will pay back what he has given. And who pay God the same amount. God is not as bad as CBN. You know? Hallelujah. Look at that verse first. Look at that verse first. This will bless you. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. So it's no longer a poor person himself. Whoa. The moment he has pity on the poor, he's left the class of the poor. Whew. What a nice way to have financial status changed. And he will pay back what he's given. So we have seen that, number one, human being is an investment, right? Bad training, going to school. Second, we have seen career as an investment. And third, we have seen what? A sacrifice as investment. Given to God on purpose, honoring him. And he will have respect for you. So I came to see that what I give to God commands respect before him. Wow. This is not anybody looking at me now. This is not time to impress my friend now. Let's look at an example. Act 10, verse 1. Come and see quickly. Our time is running. There was a centurion man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. We are looking at sacrifice as investment. Next verse. And about the ninth hour, 3 p.m., of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Next verse. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayer and your giving to the poor have come up for a memorial before God." Wow. So when we do things, when we pray, when we give to the poor, when we help somebody who is weak, there's something that happens in heaven. Just like when you transfer money to your account, something happened to your GTB account record. So it has come up. Rather, when you put some money somewhere in GTB, it's recorded in their headquarters at Victoria Island in Lagos. Have you ever seen your email address before? They will write place of something for your account. I used to think my account was in VI. Not really, but that's the center. But your own now, sacrifice, heaven. Look at next verse. And he said, "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter." Woo! See, return on investment. He gave sacrifice and investment, and God gave a human being to do something in his life. I hope you can see that. I'm making some sense. So you can see, so when we sacrifice, it's an investment. When we sacrifice to God on our own, not that we are pushed. Okay, let's look at the sacrifice in today's language. Should we do that quickly? Sacrifice, Abel brought anima. What do we bring today? Let's go first. Romans 12, verse 1. We're going to see three types of sacrifices we offer today that can be our investment for us. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So the very first sacrifice God wants from you, and the best of it, is your physical life, is your physical body. You drag your body here to listen to the word of God. You get up on your knees, you pray. You talk to God with your mouth. You try and do what is right with your life. You are making investment with your body. Let's look at the Message Bible. Message Bible. Give us Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. As an offering. Hallelujah. Selling something, making something, treating something. God said, make it an empty and stuff. God said, all that, your everyday life, take it, give it to God. Give it to God. Constructing, drawing, preaching, everything, making cement, mixing cement. Don't forget that the sacrifice that Abel brought was of the animals he was rearing. Cain brought crop from his ground he was stealing. Am I right? He didn't bring it from heaven. It's labor, it's work of his hand. That's first sacrifice, your everyday life. Second sacrifice we have today, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hallelujah. Sacrifice. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of what? So it is really important to pause in your days. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I give you glory. Thank you, Father God. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know what David did? David had skilled Levites who are singers, and he employed them to sing in the temple 24/7, and he put them on roster. So, sacrifice of praise from our lips is an investment. Praise is an investment. When Paul and Silas were locked up in prison, there was no way for them to come out. They prayed and made investment in praises. Hallelujah. So, praising God in the midst of your mess is an investment. Praise is just more than a response to what God has done. God has blessed us. Let's thank him. But let us thank him so that the blessing can come. See the difference? That's sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise is what comes before. Hallelujah. Am I making some sense? Am I rushing too much? No. All right. Let's go to the next sacrifice. It's the next verse. I love this one. But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. Woo! I like that. Just doing good. Man, that's me. I'm a priest of the highest order. You know, when I do this to somebody, when I show them the way, when I say, oh, come on, take some water. Okay, do some, when I'm doing that, I'm sacrificing to God. Just like that priest in that temple in Jerusalem is taking the animal and is putting the thing together and raising it up to God. He's doing animal, I'm doing human. Praise God. That temple is cutting animal. Now I'm helping human, which is the real thing before God. Am I making some sense? So doing good and sharing is such a sacrifice God is well pleased with. God is well pleased. When you help somebody else, even an unbeliever. God is well pleased. God is well pleased. Helping the older, helping the younger. Why? It's a sacrifice that heaven will smell. Let me close with this one. This is personal. One of the things I don't like during service is taking pastor's offering. You know, we had to come up with it because people were trying to find a way to give to me and they didn't want to come and see me because my face was too hard. So somebody went to Pastor Professor Ade and said, I want to give to Reverend. And I don't know how to, can you help me pass it to him? So they will come, how can you go with Reverend? You will come around, you know. But I was not like that actually. Even in church, people don't sit at the front. They sit away from me. You notice that? They just sit away, they sit at the back. You know. So Prof now took it, and then finally Prof, when I met him one day, a Prof said, this is going on. I said, okay, all right, let's try and do some pastor's offering, and then we'll just give one Sunday in a month. But honestly, I hardly remember it, to be honest with you. Because, you know, it's quite unegotistical. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, this money is for pastors, you know? But then I saw this verse that just trying to work on me till now. Philippians 4. Let's go to verse 17. Philippians 4, verse 17. Philippians, not Hebrews. Philippians 4, verse 17. Thank you. Not that I seek the gifts, but I seek the fruits that are bound to your account. These Philippians were given to Paul. And Paul said, look, I'm not thinking about what you are giving. I'm looking at your investment. Let's keep reading. For indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Now listen, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you. So Epaphroditus was the one who carried, just like Prof did, carried that to Paul and called it a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You know, I mean, I should not deny anybody their sacrifice. Praise God. You know, as a person, I have a, let me not get too personal now. I don't give too much to myself as a person. So I don't think I should demand much from people. I live such a life that my wife will ask me sometimes, I'm okay. She asks me, yeah, what do you want to eat? I tell her to prepare the least thing that will not give her any trouble. Because I don't want to encumber anybody's life. I don't want them to be running around for me. Where are you going? Do something for everyone. Hello. We are all the same now. But God said, when you do something for a man of God, it's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, and well-pleasing to God. Wow. So I do for my friends who are ministers. Like something happened yesterday. My wife said, hey, this is some money you want to give. Let's give this money. So she sent me the money. I put the money down. I said, okay, let me find some of the ministers to give this money to. I want to have some sweet-smelling aroma, acceptable sacrifice to God. So I started roaming. Who should I give this money to? And usually when I started roaming, I roamed and I jumped one of my older friends, a minister of the gospel, retired from a church. I hope you're listening. So I took part of that money and I sent it to him. You see, this is where I live myself. I told you I live as a believer. I'm not thinking that he's going to give to me first. So when I sent the money to him, he just sent me back. He's older than me. In fact, he was the one who helped me to become ordained today. So he just said, hey, my brother, what happened? I said, oh, he said, did you send some money? He said, I need money now. You know, he lost his wife a couple of years ago, so he's about to remarry. And he's going for the normal right to pay for. I wonder why they still let us, when we have become older, still paying all this marriage, something. I have to go through it. So he said he just needed help. And money just came in. I said, whoa, sweet smelling sacrifice. Then the second part, I took it and sent it to another person somewhere in the bush, somewhere there. And then the person sent me a text back, Rekbete, and he said, you know what? We're doing this project. We're about to pay the workers. We didn't have the money. Whoa. Man, I just got a kick from heaven. I mean, just happy, right? Like happy like a pig. You know, sweet smelling aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. I could just imagine God doing like this. Wow, 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 over my life and my wife. That's it. What else do I want? God's wonder boy. Amen. Making some sense? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. All right. So I think we should stop there about time. We've spent so much on this particular living. So you have seen what is investment? We said, when you have letter G, can you give us letter G on this? Give us all that list. Discernment is, okay, letter G, goal setting and reaching. We should have a goal that will inspire hope. And hope has to do with the future. But you cannot realize what is coming in the future without investment today. What you do today to get that investment in the future, to make that future realized and be fulfilled, is investment. Investment is what you put down as seed today for tomorrow's harvest. And we said that investment started with God, and then we look at God investing on this planet and making things to keep on working, even after he has finished his job, like the sun, the moon, the planets, green grass, vegetation. And then we said investment includes what? The first one from us is human being. They give back. And second, our career. And third, our sacrifice. I wish I can show you more. Our time is really gone. But I must not forget this. Let me show you investment in disaster. Just want to show you. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. I want to do about 5 minutes. Then, sister, Can you come and read? Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. There's so much. I wish I can share with you about Abraham, investment in gold and silver, cryptocurrency. All right. Investment in transportation, investment in... Let's skip there first. Let's go to Genesis 24, verse 34. And then we come back to the investment in disaster. Okay, come see. Genesis 24, verse 34. This Abraham's manager of his entire household. So he said, I'm Abraham's servant or his general manager. Next verse. The Lord has blessed my master greatly. He's become great. He's given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servant, and camels and donkeys. These are all types of investment. The first one, go back. Thank you. The first investment is in the flocks and herds. You know, that his career is blossoming. And the things that have to do with his career is animals. And there were animals available because without animals, you cannot sell. Am I right? Shops, houses, products, services, investment. When you are selling cement and you have cement equity and you have money to buy the cement capital, that's investment. But that's also gold and silver. That's investment in currency. That's what our world is moving to now. You don't just get silver, flock and herds. You must also learn how to trade with money. Money is becoming a product now. Praise God, somebody. The Western world done that for years. Somebody will be in a career, a doctor, an engineer, is making money. We take that money and go and invest it in the share market or some gold or something like that and start multiplying and start coming in and start going beyond what he can do with his own hand alone. Am I making some sense? Banks don't do any business besides trading with money. To them, money is a product. To what? Money is a currency. So, you must learn to do that. He said, you shall lend to many nations and you are not borrowing. That's not just lending any money around. That's doing business with money. Praise God. All right. Then, it's investment in human resources, in human capacity, male and female servants. And investment in transportation, camels and donkeys. They never stop being used. Smaller donkey, bigger camels, trains, cars, trucks. See all those long, what's the name of this guy? Dangote. Without them, they cannot move the cement around. It will rot in the factory. So that, okay, let's talk about investment in disaster. Praise God. So we do that quickly. Genesis 6. So much to learn.
Pastor, I never thought this is the Bible.
It's in there. Let's go. Genesis chapter 6. Investment that can deliver you from disaster. Let's go verse 7, or verse 5, quickly. Hallelujah. Can you look up, everybody? Let's read together. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. God was really grieved, was sorry. Next verse. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and beasts of the earth, for I'm sorry I made them. So disaster is coming on the earth. Every day there's disaster. Who will God spare? So God determined to destroy all that he had made on the face of the earth. Next verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Greatest investment to preserve the investment of your life and your stuff. The devil told God about Job. He said, you have put a hedge around him. The disaster cannot just come in and blast him out. Even if any disaster seems to come in, it will drive him higher to progress. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Noah found grace. To find grace in the eyes of the Lord is the investment against disaster. That when something is happening, God can say, spare him. Look at next verse. Maybe we'll see that there. Now, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, or complete, living life. The word, that word perfect, Don't let it throw you. The word perfect there doesn't mean perfect like, it doesn't make any mistake. He got drunk, remember? The word perfect there is the word for a person who is helping other people outside of himself.
Pastor, are you sure?
Come and see. Let's jump quickly. Let's go to Matthew 19, if I'm correct. Or Mark 10, either of the two. Let's check it quickly. If you, Matthew 19. Bear with me. Let me find it. Okay. Okay. Yeah, good. Verse 21. Matthew 19. Perfect. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor. I mean, I want to be perfect.
You see, man?
Perfect doesn't mean go to Bible school and go and hide there, learn all the Bible from A to Z generation, and come out and say, and become a walking Bible. No. This is the key to perfection. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Noah was perfect and walked with God. See that? Follow. Give us that verse back. Genesis chapter 6, verse what now? So if you want to ensure your life against disaster, Genesis chapter 6, is it verse 10 or 11 or 12? Okay, give us verse 9. Now, this Noah was a just man, perfect, strengthening the hands of the poor in his generation. And Noah walked with God. This is the investment that God will say. See, I mean, God planned to destroy the whole heart. And God says, spare him and his children and his children's wives and his own wife. And 8 souls were kept among all men on earth. Why? He was a just man, righteous man, was perfect in the generations, and Noah walked with God. So perfection is those who are not just selfish and inward-oriented, but those who are large-hearted and raising others who are less than them. So this is the investment for... So if you are perfect, you are perfect for yourself. That's why the Bible says, as I close, he that considers the poor is blessed. And there are 7 blessings that accompany that when you start doing this kind of thing. Psalm 41, verse 1 to verse 3. Let's quickly read it, and my time is up. Praise God. Blessed is he who considers the poor. You see, Noahic generation, let me use that word like this Bible school people use it. You know, Noah's generations, they were so violent, they were so hard, they were so selfish. And what generation? The minister of the state, the minister of the federal, whatever, he will take money for himself, but Noah will take the money to go and help the poor. So blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him when? In time of trouble. Next verse. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He'll be blessed on the earth. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. He may have enemies. Next verse. And if he's sick, the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness, and will sustain him on his sick bed. That's the investment against disaster. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing me? If you are struggling to let others' life be spared, God will spare your own life. That's one of the greatest things about health services, nurses, doctors, people that work in the hospital. They're running around to spare people's life. And God will spare their lives. One way or the other, God will spare their lives too. The starving people, besides the salary, that is, God will spare them. Because they are working towards sparing life. Bank people, I'm not very sure. Forgive me, bankers, you know, but you know, that's why doctors, they're always there. In some places, Dr. Lima is always there. You know, maybe once in a while, I feel sick too, but they get up to go and still serve. That's the thing. So let's see that. So, investment against disaster. Have you blessed today? Fantastic. So we've seen that. Okay. All right. Let's stop. Then let's read a little bit. And we have some question and answer in a random. Okay. Beautiful. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. Oh, remember sacrifice of praise? Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Sacrifice of praise. Lord, we bless you. Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for what I've heard. May your spirit help me to use it well. And I give you all the glory for my life today. I magnify you. I thank you. Sacrifice of praise continually offer so that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Let's bless the Lord. Let's give him glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you notice that I am dovetailing from my teaching on all things are possible toward A to Z now, and then adding some faith toward the end. So we are. Is our book ready? On what to do when faith seems weak and victory lost. Okay, so we will get to that now. Sister Kemi is coming to come and read for us. And please come over. Hallelujah. So we just give our offering to now. Or we'll be distracted. Let's hold on. Let's just follow, read. Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Okay, we'll start all over again. Chapter 1, recognizing the source of the opposition as being Satan and stand your ground.
I'm not here last week. We started a book titled What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Faith is Lost. Once in a while, many of us, we face things that just feel like as if, oh, I don't have victory over here. I just don't get the results. What do we do? This book is giving us 10 things we can do and to know and to apply so that when we run into this kind of issues, we know how to. So what to do when faith seems weak? The first one is the title that was given to us. We started last week, but we are repeating it again. What's the first one? Give us the first one on the stage again. Knowing the source of the opposition, being Satan and stand your ground. Thank you.
So many times, people do not know whether God or the devil is doing certain things. Well, they say, maybe the Lord is trying to teach me something. I remember hearing an evangelist years ago. He had a tent which seated 20,000 people. But when he put it uptown in Texas, one of those Texas tornadoes came along and blew it away. At this meeting, they were taking up a special offering to help him get another tent. I remember he said, and I almost fell off the bench when I heard him say it. I don't know whether God or the devil blew away my tent. God is not out blowing down gospel tents. God is out putting them up. Yes, somebody said, but God allowed it. God is not the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, call Satan the God of this world. And the laws governing the earth today were very largely came into being with the fall of man and the curse upon the earth. What to do when faith seems weak and victory lost? It is because people do not understand this that they accuse God of accidents, of sickness, of the death of loved ones, of storms, of catastrophes, earthquakes, and floods. God is not responsible for, nor the author of, any one of those things. Jesus set aside these natural laws as we understand them in order to bless humanity. Jesus stood on board that ship and rebuked that storm, saying, "Peace be still," according to John 14:10. It was God in him who did that work. If God caused the storm, God will be working against himself in causing it to cease. It was the same thing, it was the same with the healing Jesus performed. Jesus said, "The Father in me, he doeth the works." All the healings, all the miracles, all the works that Jesus did, God did. If God were the author of sickness and disease, and God healed people through Jesus, then God worked against himself. That cannot be, for Jesus said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Matthew 3, 24 to 25. John 10, 10. It is very easy to find out where things come from. The Lord Jesus Christ himself contrasted his works with the works of the devil in John 10, 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In contrasting his works with the works of the devil, Jesus is contrasting God's work with the works of the devil. For on one occasion, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 9, 4. On another occasion, when one disciple said to him, show us the Father, Jesus answered, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 14, 9 to 10. If you want to see God at work, look at Jesus. It would absolutely erase all confusion as to where a thing is coming from if we would listen to the word of God. Most of us, however, from the time we were children and before we could really read and get into the word of God for ourselves, were religiously brainwashed. We have had unscriptural things said all our lives and sometimes even preached in church we attended. What we had was just the human mind trying to solve spiritual problems, and the human mind cannot solve spiritual problems. If you will get into the word of God, it will straighten out your thinking. Think in line with what God's word says, not necessarily with what you have been taught it says, nor what somebody told you it says. Ask yourself, what does the word of God say? Let's examine what Jesus said in contrasting his works with the works of the devil. Jesus said, the thief. He's not calling God a thief. God is not a thief. Jesus is not a thief. The devil is. Jesus calls the devil a thief. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That which steals, that which kills, that which destroys is a thief. All such is the devil's work, not God's. You need to realize this. Many times, particularly in the Old Testament, when it talks about God doing something, he did not actually perform it. In other words, it was not the agent who did it. He did not send evil on anyone. God already had warned them. If you sin, these things will happen to you. Suppose, for instance, a man climbs up on the house, then falls off and breaks his leg. God puts into motion the law of gravity, but the man could not say, God broke my leg, or God pushed me off the roof, or even God did it. No. God puts into motion the law of gravity. The man violated it and reaped the results. It is true that God is the author of the law of gravity, but he did not intend for the man to break his leg. He did not intend for him to fall. The man fell off accidentally or because he was careless. Now then, when certain things happen in life, such as sickness and disease, catastrophe, etc., and people say, God did it. No, he did not. They happen because man sinned. Not the individual involved necessarily, but Adam sinned and all mankind fell heir to the terrible results. As John Alexander Dowie said, sickness is the foul offering of its mother sin and its father Satan. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But God did not intend that we should sin. God warned man these things would happen. But he did not intend they would happen. They happened because man listened to the devil. Satan was not originally the god of this world. Adam was. Go back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. God made the world and the fullness thereof, and it was all good. There was not anything that was bad. Then he made his man, Adam, and he said, Adam, I give you dominion over all the work of my hands. That's over the earth and everything you dominate. Or in other words, I am making you God of this world. You run it. But Adam committed adultery sin and sold out to the devil. He did not have the moral right to do it, but he did have the legal right. Then the devil began to dominate upon the earth. He became the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible record of the temptation of Jesus shed light on something we need to see about Satan's domination upon the earth. Luke 4:5-8. And the devil, taking him, Jesus, up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I had a radio preacher say that it belonged to Satan. It all belonged to God. Satan just lied. If that were the case, Jesus would have known it, and there would have been no temptation. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted. That poor radio preacher unconsciously accused the Lord Jesus Christ of perpetrating a fraud, becoming a partner to a lie, and being dishonest. For if this were not a real temptation, Jesus was dishonest. Jesus did not dispute for a moment that this was delivered unto Satan, verse 6, who delivered it to him. Adam did. The Bible tells us that when Satan is finally eliminated from the earth, there will be nothing which hurts or destroys. That would be a great day. But thank God, we do not have to let Satan dominate us now. Even though he is the god of this world, he does not have the right to dominate the church. He does not have the right to dominate us as believers. Stand your ground. It is important to recognize that the source of the opposition is Satan and to stand your ground. Too many people are ready to give up on something instead of recognizing that it is Satan who is trying to keep it from happening. Many of the things we pray about, finances, healing, and so on, have to come to pass in this world realm. And Satan is at work here. He will put up every block he can to keep it from happening. Then, if there is the least delay, some people say, maybe God doesn't want me to have that after all. They lose out and are defeated when they should have recognized the source of all opposition is Satan and not allowed him to defeat them. I opened this book with scripture from the 6th chapter of Ephesians, which declares the fact that it is Satan with whom we have to deal. Paul, writing this letter to the church, plainly said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Verse 10. Somebody said, oh, I'm trying to be strong. It does not say a thing in the world about their being strong. That's where people miss it. They drop back into the natural and try to do it themselves. It does not say.
I think it's a long chapter, I was told. So when I said, let's read as much as we can. Okay. But we have read enough. Some things actually have been dealt with. Thank you. It's long enough that if you have been coming here for some time, you should have been able to get that. But we live in a world today of dishonest ignorance, perpetuated by pastors and churches. First one is by the issue of God is the one doing everything. That is not a Christian view of God. That's a Yoruba view of God. Some right now, you have taken a stand against me because our Father and the Lord said that. Don't be a partner with the devil. Nobody. Thieves don't come to your house and then say, you are welcome. We are together, partners in progress. You do everything to block a thief. Am I right? And if you don't know who's doing something, you don't know what to do with them. Ephesians 6 verse 16. We'll just say this so that we can add it to. One day, let me tell you a testimony about this book. Before, just keep it there. This book, I keep copies around me all the time. One day, I saw a brother coming to church from my office. I just saw him coming in on Sunday morning. So I took one of the guys, I said, take this book, run to that brother, give him the book. Some of this thing I just do without really consciously knowing what I'm doing. I just feel like I do that. So they gave him the book, and he went to go and read after service. He met me and said, bro, thank you. Then several months later, 2, 3, 4, 5 months, I'm not very sure now from that time, he walked into my office and he was weeping with the book in his hand. He said, Pastor, thank you. I just got free from cancer through this book. You know, I looked at him and I know him. And I didn't know what was going through. I just gave him the book. So, and he told me how the book helped him. If I told him he had cancer, I won't give him that book. I'll go and recommend something bigger for him. Just give him the book and got free. Now, that thing around in his family, his older brother had the same problem. And he now tried to get me to help him. But it didn't work. Number one, he's not here to hear me. Number two, the book had done the job, not me. So, the same thing. And they asked me to pray for him wherever he was. I don't know. I just won't do it. He died afterward. And that brother was spared. So I keep the copy of this book around me. There's no e-book of it. Maybe Solomon will make a book out of this one, an e-book out of this book. So it's very helpful. Like I said again, if you don't know whether it's God or the devil, you don't know what to do with it. Look at this verse. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Give us an NLT. Just 5 minutes more, we'll give our offering. In addition to all of this, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. So if you are not sure whether it's God or the devil, then you don't know what to do with your faith. You see, when it is God doing it, your faith joins with him. That's the way it should be. When it's the devil doing it, your faith must oppose him. But when you are confused, you are in the middle of the valley of shadow. So, She will not know whether it's God you are dealing with or the devil you are dealing with. For instance, sickness and disease. People think it is permission of God or, what's the other one? God refusing it. That's what determines what happens to you. But if that's what determines, if it's God's permission or refusal, then the other people can help you. It can help you. It's not next door to God. So mercy is a fight against sickness. Am I right, sir? Doctors wake up every day, nurses wake up every day to fight sickness and disease. When you get to the hospital, they won't say, Nigerian policy of health is really working, you are getting sick. No, you are getting well. That's their purpose every day. And they will research, they will read day and night. So they get it clear. But Christians, when they come to their own side, they're confused about the devil. They think it's God that is giving us the sickness or something. So this is where they become space-minded or schizophrenic. They will be praying like, God, I know whether it's your will or not. And then they are pursuing hospital like no man's business. So they are divided. And any kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. Certain things, we must know that they are of the devil. And when we know that of the devil, then we can stand against it. I hope you are getting what I'm saying now. And one of them is sickness, an accident. Now, God didn't pull down the chopper that killed Wigway. Like his pastor said, God chose to take him. God didn't pull it down. Things happen in the air. One of my loved ones was in the plane. And the double-decker plane, and it just couldn't land. You said, believe in God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. No, we stand against this. I mean, join with the pilots. I mean, don't say, oh God, maybe God wants to teach us something. No. You must know that disaster, accident, sickness, poverty, corruption, all these are bandwagons of the devil. And you must stand against it. So likewise, failure in life. And when they waylay us and knock us down, we must not confuse the issue. It's of the devil, and we get up again. That's why the Bible says, my enemy, don't rejoice over me. When I fall, I will get up again. Now let me close with this. When it comes to what God does, please, please don't use Old Testament to judge God. You know what I said? Under the Old Testament, things are not clarified. Like you see a verse like this about pastors quoting it. He said, I bring evil and I bring disaster. And I make rain fall on this and not fall. They quote those verses. But they forgot that they were quoted under the minor prophet. When people have left God, they were worshiping idols. And attending disasters and disobedience will follow. God, in the life, the biggest way to know what God is, just look at Jesus. I want to close with that one. Everything, just ask yourself, is this in Jesus' life? Did you ever see Jesus make anybody sick? No. Did you ever see Jesus make anybody hungry? No. Did you ever see Jesus bringing disaster? No. In the midst of accident, storm on the sea, Jesus said, rebuked it. He didn't say, Father, you are welcome. Do whatever you want to do with our lives. But Pastor, where is God when all these things are happening? I have one question for you. Where was God when Eve was about to take the fruit? If you can answer that one for me, you can answer everything else. That's the mama of all the questions. Where was God when my uncle? Where was God when Eve was taking the fruit? And after they have taken the fruit, God came down. And he said, Adam, where are you? Your kind of God, somebody said, can I close like this? That question I will not answer it today. He said, God knew they will fall. God knew that their heart will mess up.
When God made it in the beginning, like the man was talking about, it's not intended by God. God is God knew that the earth will be like this. God knows that. Now, if God knew that they will fall and they will mess up, then when Adam and Eve sinned, God would have said, ha ha, it's working according to the plan. There will be no verse like this in the Bible, Genesis 6. Let me round up. You see, you have to renounce a lot of those things you have from our fathers and listen to Jesus. Jesus is the best one. It's not our fathers in the land. Jesus is higher than everyone else. They say I'm proud when I talk like that. I feel like saying bullshit. Forgive me in church. You know, I mean, between their father and God, Jesus, who is higher? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Let's quickly read it. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth and saw that everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. Next verse. And so the Lord was sorry. See, if he had planned evil and disaster, when he saw this, he would have said, Angel Michael, rejoicing, let's dance. It's working according to the plan. Why was God feeling so sorry? Because he never intended that. Let's clap our hands for the Father God. Amen. So, a lot of things going on this planet, God never intended them. That's not his plan for us. We are more gorgeous than this. God had great plans for us as a human. We were made in his image and likeness. We should not be under torment and pain and disappointment and embarrassment because he was not under that. We were like him. Now, I know that we are going through things on this planet and our time will be over. Things will be changed. Jesus will come back again. Until then, we are in a war zone. But we must know where the bullets are coming from. And we must not be scoring against our own team. It's a bad way of playing. Are you hearing me? See, the Lord was sorry he had made them and put them on the earth and it broke his heart. So God is not the author of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Kemi, for reading for us. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Thank you so much. We'll read more next week. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of things we have to do to help us. 10 things. We have seen the first one. Let's give our offering and get out of here. I don't know about you. I'm blessed tonight. Blessed tonight. Hallelujah. Investment. Letter I. Practical living. The whole life is an investment. Every step we take in life is an investment towards something. Something will come out of what we do. You have come here tonight. You have made an investment. Tonight, you even learn about investment, how you're investing your life. You know? Hallelujah. All right. Let's give our offering quickly and get out of here. Dear Father, we're so grateful tonight. We're so thankful for your innumerable blessings. We take this money and we show it like sacrifice. We bring this sacrifice to you. Thank you for responding accordingly. And we know it's an investment, spiritual sacrifice. We give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give our offering. And if you want to use account, go ahead. God bless you as you do so. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Wow. I'm glad I came tonight. So, how do we round up the issue of investment? Because we'll not come back to it next week. Chapter 6, Galatians, verse 9. Let's read that verse. Hope I'm correct. 6, verse 9, Galatians. Therefore, so let's not get tired. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing on our investment if we don't give up. Praise God. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. Thank you. You know something I notice? If I keep on saving money, like my children's school fees, I just keep on saving. I'm taking money from there. I don't have it. I can't buy the shawarma. I put the money there. Titi. When school fees come, I just stand there, take the money, pay gradually, and I'll be no problem. But if I use all the money for shawarma. Next verse. So, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity to buy spiritual shares in heavenly GTB, are you hearing me? We should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith.
Praise God. That rich man in hell had no investment after life. All his investment was here. Boy, he never mentioned God even while he was in hell. Father Abraham, tell him to tell my brother Lazarus. Was he arguing with Father Abraham in hell? You know. But thank God, we have our Father God. Amen? Get up on your feet. Let's go home. My praise God, I'm glad. Can you take somebody's hands beside you and just say, Father, help us to make greater investment. Help us to make greater investment when it is easy and when it's not easy. Help us to make greater investment that will turn out profitable yield. Bible said godliness is profitable for this life and for the life to come. And then tell the devil, you will not touch my investment. You will not convince me out of my investment. The Father God will bring rich reward and I will not stop. The Bible says, and is a rewarder of them that seek him diligently. Can we just make our commitment together? You see, for you to come on Tuesday is a greater commitment. I say, Father, I make a commitment to reap the harvest. I make a commitment to see through. And whatever I don't see now will manifest because God is a keeper of his promises. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we share the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. Before we say surely, last service, second service, I broke my microphone. But we had this investment somewhere in the building. This new microphone I'm using now. We had this somewhere. We just put it somewhere. And we have forgotten about it. So I was feeling sorrowful about the one that was broken. My wife said, there's another one now. And I think this one is standing better than the other one. Thank you. Always make investments. Thank you. All right. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.